Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hey, everybody. Thanks again for listening to Today We Learned. Boy, do we have a fun episode today. Dan's not here, so I had my buddy Mike Capes fill in. He's a improv background, and he's got a great YouTube channel called The Hacks of Life. He's a really cool, good friend of mine. So he's filling in for Dan. So that's the voice you hear also. But our guest, we have a great guest today. Holy cow. This is such a fun episode, and just informative and just tangential and really great stories. It's as you notice, because you obviously click download, but Catherine Hardwick is a American film director, production designer, screenwriter. She directed and co-wrote the Academy Award nominated film 13. Some of you may recognize the name. She directed the first Twilight movie. She directed Little Red Riding Hood and the Lords of Dogtown movie that came out with Heath Ledger back in the day, a few years ago. And she's got a new movie out in theaters right now called Miss You Already, starring Toni Collette, Drew Barrymore, Tyson Ritter, Dominic Cooper, a great, great cast. And it sounds like it's a really, really great fun movie there. And so she joins us, and she's just, I mean, this is a great, great episode. She's got fun stories about working with Tom Cruise and Kurt Russell and Heath Ledger, and just the what goes into producing a movie and directing a movie, as well as she's hacked into a few things also. So her and Mike shared a bunch of stories about, you know, sneaking into places and doing all that type of stuff. So this is a really, really fun episode with Catherine Hardwick, and I'm trying to remember what number it is so I can introduce it. I think it's while we're talking here, actually, you know what? 111. Oh, wow. We're at 111, guys. Holy cow. This is fun. So this is, yeah, here we go. We're starting off the teens, I suppose, or the tens or whatever in the 100 mark here. And I'm glad we have such a great guest, because this is literally, she's one of the coolest people I've met and just discussed and talked to. And it turns out, as you hear on the episode, we actually share a mutual friend as well. So that's really wild too. So I guess without further ado, today we learned in number 111 with Catherine Hardwick.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Today We Learn. As usual, my name is Razzle. With us again, filling in for Dan, is Mr. Mike Capes.
Hello.
And we have a wonderful guest today, guys. I'm really excited about this, because this is not only I've done some research, and she's very interesting, and I'm excited to learn some things, but it's also there's also a lot of things I'm curious about as far as just the film industry in general. We have a very talented director and writer, former production designer. Ladies and gentlemen, please, if you're not driving, give a warm round of applause to Catherine Hardwick.
I'm not driving.
I'm not driving. Catherine, thank you for joining us. Thank you so much for doing this show.
Thanks for having me.
How are you doing today? Good?
I'm doing pretty good.
Did you found the place okay?
Yeah, it's super fun, this place. I love it. Yeah. I want to buy like 800 things.
If I had a like a asterisk on my bank account where I could just buy anything I want, I would probably just be like, I want this store. Give me this store.
Yeah.
There's so much cool. Like, some of these things, like, I don't even know what they are. Like, some of the comics, I don't know what they are, but they look so cool.
I just said to myself, I'm going to get to buy 3 things and take them home and discover them.
Yeah. Nice. That's great. That's a great idea.
That's a good rule.
That's a good rule. Just buy 3 things and
then learn about them.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny. I always try to, at the end of the night, I try to think of 3 things that I've learned.
Yeah.
And so that's a really cool thing to have. 3 things.
That's a good.
It's a good rule.
That's
of thumb.
A good rule.
I'm just gonna blindfold myself. And
yes.
Just
yes.
Start.
Oh, that's even cooler.
Things. Yeah.
Man, that's a good idea. People will be like, "Why is she grabbing
She's
my
like,
ear?"
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I took that person's hat things. Home. He's like, "That's not for sale."
Catherine, we as you know, because I told you 2 minutes ago, we like to start off each episode with the guest providing a fun fact that they learned or something about themselves. And you mentioned that you actually have something you'd like to share with us.
I got a couple of fun facts.
Wonderful.
I mean, at least one. For one thing, I have a life-size green dingo in my house.
Get out of town.
Yeah, I thought that might. I have a novelty taxidermy section without any real taxidermy in it. It's all fake taxidermy.
Get out of
like
town.
Like a full-size green dingo that even can pant. And it's pretty cool. And
that's
and
awesome. Friend,
and when real dogs come in, they look at it and they run up and growl at it, but it's really made out of green fake fur.
Wow, yeah. That's awesome.
It's green. What color are dingoes in general?
Well, aren't also they green? Like dirty brown, I think?
Yeah, dingo. Here we go.
Yeah, yeah. Brown or...
Dingo is a free-ranging dog found mainly in Australia. Its exact ancestry is debated, but dingoes are generally believed to be descended from semi-domesticated dogs from East or South Asia.
And they ate a dingo ate a baby, right?
dingo ate my baby. Yes, yeah, Meryl Streep movie. Exactly, yeah.
So is it? Does that greet people when they walk in?
Well, you walk in the house and then you see it. And it's sitting on another thing that is a diorama, which is called chicken dinner. And that has three chicken skeletons eating a dinner.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
That's awesome. I got it. We got it. I would love to get a photo of that to post that. If you could send us one.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. I think you need one.
What are the chickens eating for dinner?
They're eating Mexican food.
Of course.
El Polo Loco.
Oh. Yeah, no.
Cold.
No cannibalism. Yeah. No cannibalism.
Oh, did you know? Oh, here's a fun fact.
Yeah.
If you want to recycle everything and like you have a whole organic garden and all that stuff, and you feed chickens back their own eggs, but you don't grind them up, then they will turn into cannibals, start eating their babies. But if you grind them up, they get the calcium.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So just in case you want to do a chicken recycling.
Zombie
chickens. Sure. You have to grind it up.
Grind it up, give them the eggs back, and then they get the good source of calcium.
Wow, okay. That's actually cool. That's interesting.
I feel like there was something about like eggs and chickens where there's a reason
why. Which one came first?
Well, it was also like in like the chicken factories or whatever, why it was something to do with rubber bands to help prevent like them from cracking the eggs or something. Like now the fact is being skewed, it's interesting that you bring that up because of it was something to do with that type of thing.
Yeah,
but it's lost on me. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in, which you're not, I'm gonna address this at the top so we can talk a little bit about this, and then at the end we can address this also. You directed Academy Award nominated 13.
Right. Holly Hunter got nominated for Academy Award.
Wrote and directed that.
Right. Co-wrote it with 13-year-old girl.
You directed the first Twilight movie, which went on to break records as far as I read this fact, and I always like I don't like the adjective because it's like it but as of late it's come about, but you broke records for box office weekend of female directors,
which
is amazing.
Made it to the Guinness Book of World Records.
Amazing. Wow. Very congratulations on
that's
that.
That's awesome.
Little Red Riding Hood, The Lords of Dogtown, which I remember coming out.
Oh my gosh.
I remember I was looking forward to that.
Great
Super
film.
That was so good.
Thank you.
There were so many things about that. I grew up in, you guys shot in San Pedro for some of it, I believe.
Yeah, we did.
So where they set up the Zephyr Shop. Was that like a... There was a liquor store there that my friend's family used to own. Mm-hmm. And so I went to school around there. And another fun fact for me is, so I was huge into skating. I had Pal Peralta boards.
Yeah.
And last year I got cast in a commercial directed by Stacy Peralta for Ford. Yeah.
You did? That's awesome.
Yeah, so he directed me and I was so stoked. And I told him when I saw him on set, I said, you know, I used to ride your boards as a kid. And he goes, that's why I cast you. That's amazing. Obviously, he didn't know. But he did tell me. He goes, you know what, Mike? In your audition, he goes, the reason why we hired you, because they didn't actually have a role for me. They brought me in on the side because he said you were the one listening. You listened in every audition. And I was making him laugh because I come from improv and everything. Yeah. But he's like, you were listening, and that's why we got you on there. I was like, that's awesome, and that's one of my idols. So.
And I first met Stacy in an acting class when I first came to L.A. He and I were both taking an acting class.
No way.
Yeah, and so they said you were supposed to bring an activity in, so you do your monologue with an activity, like cooking or something like that. Well, I suddenly see this guy, and his activity is putting stickers on a skateboard. I'm like, what? He goes, okay, I admit I forgot my activity, and these were in the back seat of my car.
That's so funny.
Drawn from real life. Yeah. Truth.
That's great.
And then he's one that recommended me to be the director for Lords of Dogtown.
Okay.
Oh, that's awesome. He's so great. He's such a great guy.
I was reading
such a beautiful person.
Awesome.
I was reading that you, when like prior to directing that, you knew a lot of them from, like, surfing?
Well, I knew them also because one of my first jobs, I was a production designer on Thrashin. Now, has anybody heard of Thrashin?
Yeah, of course.
Like, the worst, hilarious, you know, cheesy, outrageous skateboard movie ever.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That was during the time when we had...
Like, Break-In.
We had terrible... Yeah, we had bicycle BMX movies. Yeah. We had Thrashin skateboard, and we had... I'm sorry, I'm going to... damn it, I had it.
One other cheesy...
Yeah, some kind of sport, like, urban sport we were doing.
Urban sport that kids had to do because they couldn't go to bars or go to...
Exactly, and they made some kind of weird movie out of it.
Yeah. Well, Josh Brolin is the star of Thrashing.
That's right.
And then Stacey's so in it, too. Everybody's in it, Tony Alva's in it.
And it's something. Like, you look at, like, old movies like that, and, like, to see how those, like, Josh Brolin
turn
now
into
is, like...
superstar,
superstar, so much talent.
And you know what was so funny? Like, I just barely moved to L.A. I didn't know anything about anything, is so much trouble I got into. Like, I was the production designer. I didn't even know what that meant, you know, and they gave me, like, you know, $300. Okay, build a skate ramp, you know, get skateboards. So I'm, like, getting everything for free that I could. And then suddenly, just out of the back of the truck, I noticed, like, my prop assistant was selling the skateboards that I had talked the companies into giving me, or trading for weed or whatever. I mean, it was just random. But then they said, okay, you're going to do, like, the Daggers house. The bad guys were the Daggers, okay? And, like, the bad Daggers, and they had this Daggers stencil and all this shit. So they just dropped me off in the middle of Hollywood and said, this is going to be our location. Me, by myself, you know, just came here, and it was a crack house, and there were, like, crackheads in the house.
Oh, my God.
And I didn't even know what that was. I was so innocent at the time. I'm like, hey, guys, want to help me clean this place up and paint some graffiti on the walls and things? The guys were, like, scraping shit, you know, like,
oh my
it
God.
Was hilarious.
How did they respond? Did they?
They were like, you have any money? You know, like,
of course.
As soon as I gave them some money, they were like, okay, you know. They kind of turned into my crew for, like, about 5 minutes.
Okay. Right.
You look on IMDb and it just says crackhead.
Yeah, crackhead, one, two.
Oh.
That's crazy. Hilarious.
And then they told me to go down to Venice Beach and, like, paint some murals that said Daggers on them. I didn't know that there was gang graffiti. If you paint over another gang's graffiti, they get mad at you. I didn't even know that at the time.
Right.
So I'm out there, and all these gang guys come out, what the hell?
Oh, my God, you started a gang war for the Daggers.
Oh, my God, no. The next day they came back with a black, like, house paint and rollers and rolled over everything we had painted and then put, like, rude shit about me and the two kids that were helping me.
Oh,
so it was pretty wild. It, you know, I was like, threats and everything. I'm like, oh, duh, I'm making a movie.
The La Raza hates movie company.
La Raza wow, that's hates crazy. Daggers.
It was so random.
A lot of there's production design crews now that are like gangs.
Yeah. That's interesting. So, let's talk about those, because those will elicit. I got some, you know, some notes about your production designer days. But also, I want to address this at the top. Also, you have a new movie out in theaters right now with Toni Collette, Drew Barrymore, and Dominic Cooper.
Yeah.
And for our nerd listeners, you'll recognize Dominic Cooper from the Captain America movies,
right?
And
he's coming out in Preacher.
Yes, that's right.
Preacher. Oh man, that's gonna be so good.
Yeah.
He plays Howard Stark. He plays the young Howard Stark.
Yeah, that's right.
And all the, like, the Marvel universe. Yeah, he's a very talented actor.
And then Toni Collette. And Collette.
Well, they're all such great actors.
Yeah.
And that's out in theaters right now in select cities, right?
Yeah. Select theaters.
That's great.
Yeah. It's cool.
That's awesome.
So tell us a little bit about that. Then we can get into. Some other.
We filmed that in London, and so that was really fun for me because I used to be an architect. So I love the architecture, like the old architecture, new architecture in London, you know, every time you turn around, something really, like, high energy, you know, and cool. And then, like you said, like Toni Collette, Drew Barrymore, Dominic Cooper, and Patty Considine. I don't know if anybody knows him. He's in, like, some of the Bourne movies and stuff.
Okay.
He is just, like, a genius, too. And so Drew and him live on a houseboat. So that was, like, super fun. We shot on a houseboat in the Thames River. And, you know, and in Tony's house, Tony and Dominic are together. And their house is, like, in an old brick forge with all these different metal levels. And it's cool, you know. So it's really about the best friendship between the two girls. And then their husbands, you know, trying to, like, horn in there, you know, be part of it. But the girlfriends are sort of like, they've been together forever, you know.
Right,
so the guys a little bit take a backseat.
Okay.
That's great. That sounds fun. Architecture is always, like, an interesting thing to me. I don't know anything about it, but I appreciate when things look awesome. And
cool.
The fact that thought goes into everything. Like, you're not just building like a structure and, yeah. and oh, let's just put this, you know, this thing here or whatever.
So, you know.
And like, I was learning, we had a guest on the podcast maybe a year ago or half a year ago or whatever, who talked about how, like, in pillars, there are actual names for the types of pillars with, like, things that I can't remember them now.
Well, Ionic, but, Corinthian, Doric.
Okay.
Columns, right.
Columns, and there's names for, like,
the
designs.
Like, the curls those are the designs.
Like, the Corinthian columns have the leaves at the top, and they look really intricate, and Doric are just two single flutes, and
That's so fascinating to me.
That is cool. Do you have any fun facts, architecture facts offhand?
Oh, my God, tons, probably. Well, that was one of them. Okay.
Yeah. That's great,
That's three of them.
But, yeah, but then also, you know, we also try to make our buildings work, like, environmentally, like, facing south to get the heat in
from
the wintertime, and, you know, and then have an overhang to the right length so that in the summer it's shaded and stays cool in the summer. Or you can create, like at my house, a thermal chimney where you have hot air is going to rise. So if you put a skylight or a tower at the top of your house and open those windows, that actually draws the hot air out of your house. Oh, it's a natural air conditioning system.
Wow.
Called like a thermal chimney.
Oh, wow.
That's cool.
That's awesome. So how'd you go from being an architect to, I guess, production design?
It's a similar thing.
Then now you're directing and writing movies.
I was an architect in Texas, and then I realized that as soon as I started designing this one pretty cool project, everybody liked it, but they wanted me to do the exact same style again and again and again. I'm like, I don't want to repeat the same thing. I want to do something different, and I thought I could come out, and I went to UCLA animation school, and just that I thought I can just do creative shit all the time. But there were no jobs at that time, so people said, and I didn't have any money, so they said, hey, you used to be an architect, why don't you design the sets for my movie? So that's why I did Thrashing, and I'm out there building like burn ramps, skate ramps that were going to catch on fire, and all kinds of crazy shit. And then I worked my way up, clawing my way up to bigger budget movies that I did, like Tombstone, I did Tank Girl,
The Three Kings,
Three Kings with David O. Russell.
You
I
did,
got to build a whole
did,
Iraq
it says here,
city.
Really?
Vanilla Sky?
Vanilla Sky,
I got to hear a Tom Cruise story if you have any.
I've got such a good one.
You don't even know how big of a Tom Cruise fan I am. I'm such a big Tom Cruise fan.
Okay, I've got a pretty good one. Okay.
That's awesome. And then Tombstone, I mean, Tombstone,
yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah, I'll be your Huckleberry.
That had to have been fun, making like a wild,
so
like,
fun getting to do the Wild West and just be out in, like, out in the middle of Arizona. We shot that one and building the OK Corral and all that stuff.
So they built all that stuff, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Crew. Watch it. Yeah.
She was in Arizona with a bunch of crackheads.
I upped my game on that. I got real professional. Well, not that professional.
They were doing better drugs.
But different days. Like, I would get a call like 4 a.m. in the hotel, like, hey, Catherine, you know, I hate to say I'm not going to be able to show up and do the set tomorrow, the scenic painter. I'm in jail. I'd be like, okay. You know, work around that one somehow.
Wow. Never realized how much production design crews are, you know, they're pretty rowdy,
I got to say. They're like artists, carpenters, painters, musicians, you know. So
it's cool.
Yeah,
that's great.
Man, there should be books on that, or like a TV show based on production design.
It's an interesting thing because you, like, it's one of those things that you take for granted as knowing the business, you understand and you appreciate that everything, there was thought put into everything, be it, you know, location scouting or extra casting. But, like, for the people who aren't in the business, you really just watch these things and you think about the director and the actors. You don't think about, like, the lighting crews or the rig crews or all of this and how much work goes into making these actual things.
Yeah.
And then as a director, you're in charge of it all to make sure everything, you know,
it all lines up with your visual vision.
And
everything.
So that's a... I mean,
that's pretty fun. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
like,
really great.
Like, this space is really cool. Like, if I was production designing this space, there's so much texture in here. It tells you so many stories, the acoustic material, all the different collections of stuff around, and all the, like, signs. And, you know, it's hilarious.
Right.
Yeah. So,
well,
like,
so you must pay attention to those details quite a bit when you're in a room.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've already taken pictures of this location and that because I'm like, oh, I'd like to have a set like that.
If you ever need to make an action movie about podcasting, podcasting, I would love to be in a
Die Hard and a podcast.
Die Hard and a comic book store.
Such is a perfect podcast. Why not?
Die Hard and a comic book store.
Yeah.
Take it over. Hey, comics are worth a lot of money. There could be a group that wants all this stuff.
You could make your own comic books for the movie and have that be like integrated or whatever. I don't know.
I thought there could have been a cool hostage situation a minute ago with that whole bus full of where were those kids from that were down there, like Korea or China, like a giant tour bus where we could have like done a hostage scene or something like
out
that.
Of a, you know, with some nerd heroes. That's just a thought. Just put this out there, Catherine. You know,
I like it.
I would make a great. You know, I was for Halloween. I was the guy in the elevator, the dead Carl's brother from Die Hard with the gray. I had a gray suit coat. I was all of gray sweatpants and I had a Santa hat and I had red marker written on me.
You were just dead the whole time.
I have a picture of him at the party.
People just dragged you around.
The weekend of Bernie's and around the party.
Oh my god, that sounds like a lot of action. Yeah,
I play a great dead guy, and I'm pretty good at crawling through rafters.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Now we're stepping up.
Tom Cruise. So,
Okay. So, Tom, you know, he's amazing. You know, just like radical, super intense, works super hard, and everything. And so, one day, they had actually had another production designer on the movie, and then they didn't really like what that designer was doing. So they'd already been shooting for like 3 weeks, and then they hired me, and I had to come in and transform everything. So I'd been like trying, like over Christmas holidays, like rebuilding the sets and stuff. So I was barely catching up. I was barely like 1 minute before, like people would be hammering nails in one room and then painting, and then the film crew would come in, you know, because I didn't have any advanced time. So I was like trying to catch up. And then one day Tom comes in, he goes, "Look, I love the way you transformed his main apartment. I redid his apartment." He goes, "I want you to redo Penelope Cruz's apartment." Okay. And I go, "But we've already shot scenes in there." And, you know, I thought that was like one set that I could check off my list. I didn't have to worry about it.
Right.
You know, and she's an artist. He goes, "No, I don't really like the way it looks." And I said, "But wait a minute, we're scheduled to shoot that." It was about noon. Okay. And I said, "We're scheduled to shoot that like first thing in the morning. There's no way I can go and completely redo that set, you know, by then." And he goes, "Why don't you come into the Bluebird?" And I was like, "Okay." Now, do you guys know what that means?
I don't know. I want to be inside there.
The Bluebird. I'm like, "What the heck is the Bluebird?" Well, if you look at school buses and if you look at a lot of motorhomes, you're going to see they're made by a company called Bluebird.
Okay.
So that's what he called his mobile home. And he had like this super deluxe, you know, stainless steel, radical mobile home. So I walk into, so he's like, "Come into the Bluebird." So I walk into the Bluebird, right? And Cameron Crowe, the director, is back there too, and he's just looking at me kind of laughing the whole time while this happens. And Tom walks in, and he goes to the back, and he puts on some music, and when he turned around, like trance music, turns around, he had like three buttons undone on his shirt. I'm like, "What the heck?" And he starts, he takes my hand, and he starts dancing with me like a serpent dance, like looking at me with, you know, those radical Scientology eyes, you know, and he says, "You know that you could improve this set. You know that you could make it better, right?" And I go, "Right." You know, I start getting like hypnotized by him, by the music, by him dancing with me, and he's like gyrating around and everything. And he goes, "So you know you can make this better, right?" I'm like, "Right." And he goes, "You know you're going to figure out some way to do it between now and then, right?" And I'm like, "Right." You know, so he talked me in, like the rule of threes, talked me into agreeing to it. And so I was just kind of like mesmerized, you know, and I opened the door and step out of the Bluebird, and there's my art department people, and they go, "Catherine, you did not agree to that, did you?" I go, "Right." "I did." And so I'm like, "Holy shit, now I got to do it." So I turn into like an army general, you know, and I said, "Okay, you go with a truck to IKEA. Get these 17 items out of the IKEA catalog / Bible that we call. Yeah. You go down to Melrose Avenue, the junk stores, and get all these items. You go to my house and get all," because she was an artist, "get all these funky things from my house. Meet back here in 3 hours. We're going to make this shit happen." So the next day, he came in. I did somehow. Money was no object. I just redid the set because I knew if Tom wanted to do it, Paramount would be okay.
Yeah.
And then he walked in. He really liked it. He got down on his knees and kissed my feet. That's in front of the crew.
Wow.
I've heard he's got
magical powers.
And he did want to, and it did make the movie better, and I did figure out a way to do it.
He is such a perfectionist. Like, that's one reason why he'll do all of his own action stunts, because he wants the best. And if he'll, like, he'll, I've heard stories of him wanting to redo scenes that are extremely hard to do because he thinks he can give a better job.
Yeah.
Right.
And he, like, he's so intense and he loves his crew, and everything you hear about the guy is, as far as professionalism and intense, seem to be positive.
I didn't realize he'd be that hands-on with also talking about, like, that apartment. Wow, that's incredible.
Dude, he actually has great taste.
Sure.
He has exquisite taste with, you know, art, architecture, every detail. I mean, I could tell you 10 other things where he, like, zoomed in on the tiniest little detail that I was already trying to fix the proportions of some chair legs. He goes, I think everything looks good, but these chair legs. I go, dude, I know, I'm trying to fix, you know, whatever. He's, like, amazing. He has, like, a masseuse and a cappuccino person to help everybody feel good while they're working.
He's got people to take care of other people because the magnetism he does on sets, I've heard, is just amazing, and you can attest to this. And, like, I've heard stories where he'll meet you, like, he'll meet you at, like, a read-through or whatever, and he'll get your name and he'll meet you. He might not see you for another 2 years, and then he sees you at another read-through or on set, and he will remember who you are and all of this, and it's just like, there's a reason why he's the best action star out there, and the best, you know.
He's amazing.
And he's a talented actor.
And to kiss someone's feet in front of a bunch of people on set.
Yeah.
Is such a sign of, like, but you know, like, the fact that he serpent danced you and the respect that you did it, and that's, I mean, that's, there's no better sign. That's incredible. No, that's cool.
Yeah, no, he's amazing. He does, like, 53,000 things that make it better.
He's so good. Yeah. I'm such a huge fan.
And then he hangs outside of airplanes as well.
Yeah, and he just strikes, man.
I think he's magical.
He's a
god.
He's so talented. He's so good.
Yeah, good. And he can hypnotize you.
Watch out. With a dance, with hips.
Yeah.
Catherine, it says here, when I say it says here, it means I looked on the internet.
Well, we know that's true.
Says you have superpowers. Tell us about this. No.
Thank you.
Cameron, Texas. You're from Cameron. You were born in Cameron, Texas.
Well, it's kind of funny. There's no such place as Cameron, Texas. So that's one example.
Okay.
Of the internet. They're making up cities.
Yeah. They made up their own city. I was born in a town called Harlingen, Texas.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's in Cameron County. But,
Because Cameron, Texas, I looked it up and it's...
Is it a real town?
It says it's a town, but it says it's a city of a square mile... 4 mile radius.
It's a guy named Cameron living there.
It's a guy named
because that is I was not born in Cameron, Texas.
Yeah, okay.
But one of my friends, Nikki Reed, told me like a year ago. She goes, "Hey, guess what? I just had a baby on Wikipedia."
That's great.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. Cool.
And then you were raised in McAllen. Is that
McAllen? No. That is a border town.
Okay. Yes.
It's all the way down the very southern tip of Texas. It's known for two things: police brutality and drug smuggling.
Oh wow!
I have friends from McAllen.
Okay.
What?
Yep.
Are you kidding?
Yep, my friend Carlos Salcinas and his family are from McAllen.
Did they escape?
They did. Yeah. He works for Fox now here in LA, and is they still have land out there or something.
Yeah, we still have land there too. And in fact, our land, my dad's a farmer, and our land is on the Rio Grande River, and I went down there about a year ago, and it's like a military zone because of all the drug wars.
Right.
And my cousin has to wear a bulletproof vest and take a gun to work as a farmer.
Wow.
As a
farmer.
Isn't that horrible?
And then there's choppers flying over all the time and like the police boats. And I mean, it's pretty
It's
violent.
Right on the, like, McAllen is right on
it's
the Rio Grande. Like, it's
right.
Literally, you look over there and that's
Mexico
City, right?
Yep.
Well, not
or
Mexico
no, that's
City.
Reynosa.
Reynosa, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. The Mexican city of Reynosa is like literally.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, how big is this river? How wide across is the Rio Grande?
Where our land is, it's between two dams, so it's actually pretty wide. So, like, as a kid, we used to swim across it, but it would take like 15 minutes to swim across. I mean, I was on a swim team, so but it's a wide river, and so we grew up water skiing on that river, and you know, inner tubes, like farm tire inner tubes, and everything.
Can't do that now.
Yeah, well, you can.
Yeah, you can?
I guess.
They just assume you're drug smuggling in an inner tube?
Exactly. Fill those up with
fill things. Those inner tubes up with some blow.
They're checking inner tubes down there now.
Our kind of extreme sport was my brother, you know, there would be often like a dead cow body floating down the river, just funky stuff. So your brother would try to drive the boat and like swerve when you're on the inner tube so that you fly off and land in the dead cow.
Oh, wow.
That would be like the fun thing you would do down there.
The old dead cow game.
Yeah.
You've moved on from the dead cows to dead chickens eating Mexican food.
Dead chickens eating Mexican food. Which good for them.
This is a fun fact I got. I learned this the other day. Speaking of like production design and all that, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. We're huge fans of Indiana Jones.
Yes.
But I was watching a 2-minute video on the internet that they have of talking to a production designer from that, and he was talking about the bridge scene in that when they cut the bridge, like building that Bailey Bridge.
Oh, okay.
And apparently it was that type of a bridge. Like in movies and things like that, when you build a bridge that gets destroyed, it's called a Bailey Bridge, which derives from a prefabricated truss bridge that was developed by the British during World War II. So when it comes to like temporary bridges and things like that, they're called Bailey Bridges.
Like the military, like that would be a Bailey Bridge that you could ford a river on. Oh,
right,
cool.
Right.
So I thought that was interesting, and it kind of tied into like designing things, because as a production designer, you take, I guess, the director's notes,
You take the script.
Or the script
and you... How can I visualize it? How can I bring this to life?
No, let me ask you this. So you directed Twilight, which was a blockbuster. I mean, it printed
huge
money.
Yes.
But it was based on a property that was already written as far as the book goes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as the director, and with the notes that you have, taking from the script, obviously, then the book, because you want it to be somewhat faithful from the book of sorts... How did you, like, what was that like, taking something that was already a huge fan property and
it wasn't a huge fan property at the time. That's what people don't quite remember.
Oh, the books weren't as huge as they were?
Well, they had a passionate following, but they were more small, you know. And so at the time, Paramount had optioned the rights to the book, and they had a screenplay written. And I read that screenplay, and they had put it in turnaround. You know what turnaround means?
Yeah,
it means that they decide, we're not going to make this movie. Then somebody else might try to say, well, maybe Fox wants to make it. Well, they did. The producers did take it to Fox. Fox didn't want to make it. No studio in town wanted to make it.
Wow.
Because they thought it wouldn't make any money. Because it's a young girl as a protagonist. And, you know, only these amount of girls read that book, so it's not going to make a penny.
Wow.
And they actually... So then they took it to this new studio, Summit, that was trying to become a new studio, mini major. And Summit had, I saw the guys that own Summit at Sundance Film Festival, where as a juror, 2007, they had 5 scripts. And they said, see if you like any of these scripts. If any of them spark any interest in you and you want to make any of them, come to us and let's talk about it. So I didn't like any of them. I basically threw them all in a pile. But then I thought, well, I wonder if that one, that Twilight one, I wonder if it's based on a book. So I went and looked, because it wasn't that well known. So I looked it up, and then I went into my meeting at a Summit and said, look, the script that you guys showed me from Paramount really should be thrown in the trash. Let's not even consider this. It's not good, and it wasn't good.
Right.
They had deviated. They had too many notes, deviated too much from the book. I said, let's start over and write a script that's closer to the essence of the book about crazy falling in love. And I came in with a whole bunch of visuals of how I thought Twilight could look. And they said... Okay, first of all, they'd actually never even read the book at that time.
Wow.
They didn't even have the option on it. I didn't know this, but they liked what I said, and they went and got the option. We got Melissa Rosenberg, who was writing on Dexter at the time. She and I worked on the script. She wrote it, and I would be looking for visuals going up north, you know, to Forks and sending her ideas. Let's do this. Let's do a scene like this. There's a lot of stuff that's not in the book, because the book is more talking and in your head. Like, there's a whole treetop sequence. That wasn't in the book, but I wanted to do something cinematic, you know.
Right.
So, you try to keep it close to the book, but the essence of the book, if you basically just translate a book, that could just seem as boring as like paint by numbers.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because like
100%.
Some of the most dramatic scenes were like taking place in a car where she finds out that he's really a vampire. And that was just in a car. Well, how many angles can you get in a car? Okay.
Yeah.
A head on, a side. I'm like, fuck that. It's not, am I allowed to say that?
Yeah.
Not
100%.
Be, not
say it again.
Not going to be. Fuck that. It's not going to be allowed to be in a car. Let's move it out to, you know, like I use a techno crane out in the forest, had them moving during that scene. You know, in the book, the dad never left the couch. He was like a lame-o guy. I'm like, he's a sheriff. Let's get him out there. Action, doing stuff. You know, let's bring everything to life. So, and then Stephanie Meyer, the writer, because it was in the writer of the book, because it was in the spirit of the book.
Yeah.
It just made it more cinematic. She supported all the things.
Okay, that's awesome.
And the fans obviously loved it too.
Yeah. I have seen.
Good grammar.
It's the only one I have seen.
Okay.
Was the first one.
That's all you need. Stop there. Yeah. Stop there. No.
Yeah, I noticed you didn't. You didn't.
I didn't direct the other ones. Yeah. No.
But then the success of that paved the way for everything.
Even Hunger Games.
Hunger Games, which is all come off of them. Yeah.
All from based off
because
of
because people
the
did not think
Twilight.
It was going to make.
So that's
many
when those studios come back now and go, wait, you know, we were wrong.
Yeah. Now everybody's looking for the next.
Exactly. Wow.
And so. And you were pretty quick to say just only watch the first one. Is there a reason?
Just
why,
joking.
Yeah. Is there like does that go back to the architect days of wanting to do something different that you didn't want to do the sequels?
Yeah.
That's a good point because I like more the original idea.
You're more into creating
the
world.
Let's do something new.
Right.
Yeah. Plus the first book I really liked the best and the other ones felt a little bit more like I might have seen them before or heard them before. So the first one was a little more fresh, like vampires out in the woods. I like moss. I like Pacific Northwest trees. That sounds trippy. You know?
Right.
Yeah. You do like woods because you went from doing that to Little Red Riding Hood.
Right.
Which also takes place in like a forest.
I honestly love moss and trees. I like the Pacific Northwest forests. They're just so creepy and cool.
Sure. Yeah.
And you can see like weird shapes in them. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool how much they change. Like when you go out and see those places during the day, it's a completely different vibe. And when light hits certain things, it's just incredible how things can just change and tweak.
It can look so beautiful in the daylight.
And then so on. Like,
Yeah,
definitely. That's really cool.
Yeah.
But before that, like, you know, most vampire movies had been, I'd seen them like in the dark alleys in Paris at night or in London streets.
Right.
You'd never really seen them out in nature and all that. So that was kind of fun.
That's really cool.
That's great. That's fascinating. That's always, so how'd you go from production design to, so, 13 was the first movie you directed, correct?
Right.
So
I had made little short films, little animated films and like short things, been taking all kind of acting classes. Between every job I would go and take a writing workshop and I'd write another screenplay and I'd storyboard and I'd build a Civil War tent in my living room and shoot a little short film. But I could never get any of them to go, you know, to be greenlit, get the money for them. So finally when Nikki Reed, who was 13 at the time, she was going through all this trouble and crazy, you know, pressures and all this stuff as a teenager. And she and I wrote that script together, and it was basically about poor people. I could use my own clothes. Yeah. My car is in the movie. My furniture's in the movie. I could make it for a pretty tight budget, and that's what we did. Finally, I got to break out and do it.
Yeah. It's we were just talking earlier. We had another podcast, and Mike does he's got a YouTube channel where he, you know, it's very do-it-yourself type of a thing.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
And It seems to be like 13, it's you almost kind of you do it yourself. You start it, you make it, and you write
find
it.
Find a way to make it happen.
Absolutely.
And, okay, we can't afford a car. Okay, we're using my car.
Yep.
Okay, we don't have furniture. We lost a location.
Yeah.
Drive the truck up to my house. We're taking all my furniture, and it's all in a scene, for example.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, you're in the Guinness Book of World Records and all these major blockbusters. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
That's
great. It was so easy. Yeah.
And then Tom Cruise is dancing for
you. Yeah.
Serpent, you get to see a private Tom Cruise serpent.
So we were talking briefly about.
I have told him since then. I said, "Do you remember that time you hypnotized me?" He goes, "Yeah, you know, he's cool."
That's so great. Tell him about me next time. No. I can fanboy. Tom Cruise.
Why
I can,
not?
Yeah. I'm a huge fanboy about Tom Cruise movies. I'm a dude. I like action movies.
You should have him on this. You should ask him. He might do it.
Yeah, I have no connection to him, unfortunately.
Serpent dance him.
If
you ever see him.
If you know him, if you have ways
of... Hypnotize him and just...
I'm actually... a buddy of mine is actually good friends with him. My buddy Kit Gurry, he's an actor. He's done a few times.
Oh, I love Kit.
You know Kit?
Oh, my God, he's so funny. He just was in a music video I just
get
did.
Get out of town. I got a... Let's take a selfie and I'm going to send it to Kit right away.
He's so funny.
That's great. I was just texting him the other day because he told a mutual friend of ours that I post too much on Instagram. And I'm like, which I do. I need to tone that down.
Like how but many times a day? 33 times a day.
No, that's a lot. Maybe four sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Like because like I do comedy and I like jokes. So if I see something or I think about
that's
it,
funny.
I do it right away because I'll forget about it later.
Uh-huh.
Keep it to three. Three.
But,
rule of threes.
Rule
so
of three.
So Kick, okay, I just did a music video for All American Rejects, Tyson Ritter's band.
Yeah. Good band.
I know them.
I like that band.
Aren't they really cool?
Yeah.
They were actually the front man, you know, Tyson Ritter. You know Tyson?
Yep.
He's in Miss You Already. He plays like the wild sort of affair in the thing, and he's just so good in it. And so he had writer's block for 2 years, and he hadn't written a song. And after he did the sex scene with Toni Collette, he went home and wrote a song.
Oh,
and
nice.
Then we made a music video for it. So you guys should check it out. And
yeah.
Kick is in it. And
that's amazing.
And Tony's in it.
Oh,
that's
no way.
There's a place. It's really cool. Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's great.
Check it out.
It's such a small world in this town.
Yeah.
I'm finding out.
I met Tyson on a cruise ship.
Okay. What?
Yeah.
You admit that?
Okay. I'll tell you why. I was I used to interview bands and do a lot of like they used to send me around to do interviews and things like that. He was on a cruise ship for Bud Light. It was this big weird thing
they
in the Bahamas. They
stuff.
Were performing, and so I hung out with them, and then we became friendly after the interview, and then had some beers.
Isn't he fun?
Oh, he's cool.
Such a good
he's
heart.
Cool. And then we lived near each other in Los Feliz area.
Oh yeah.
So he, I always ran into him in town, and yes,
he's very awesome. Good in our movie too.
Oh nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's been acting. He's been doing.
Oh
yeah.
He's great.
He's great.
And also they did. I heard about this, but I never went. That they had Twilight cruise ships where the whole cruise thing would be Twilight themed.
Oh wow.
Oh wow. And
then bananas. How they do things like that.
Yeah.
That's like that's so weird.
What happens
imagine
on that?
Like 5 days.
It's a cruise ship outside Portland.
Yeah.
No, I couldn't manage the Bud Light thing I was on. It was like too much. I can't imagine if it's all themed with the same
one theme that people are super into.
That's so bananas.
And they're all dressed like vampires. And
were
things.
They dressed like Bud Light?
They were all dressed like Bud Light bottles.
They're all dressed
which
like
so
cans
weird.
Of Bud Light.
It was so uncomfortable for everyone.
they're all dressed
awkward.
Like
yeah, no, I'll
they're
tell
all
you.
Cosplay. Plays as Spud McKenzie.
I'll tell you, no offense to the company because I was hired, but it was, let me tell you, it was a cruise, two cruise ships filled with people that won the chance to get on the cruise ship at bars in drinking contests. So you can imagine the crowd that I was thrown into. And I had to do comedy bits and like, I had to write and just shoot comedy bits for. I was working for Maxim at the time. Maxim.
You were just making up right there.
Yeah, I'd had because I didn't really. They didn't really know what we were doing, so they just sent me out. I'm in the Bahamas. I'm just writing bits and just going out and shooting them. While we had a camera crew, but and it was the. It was those people that you kind of don't want to be around, in a way, you know. And I saw. I mean, a lot of people were getting hurt because they were drinking so much.
And if it was the winners of all these, everyone was probably
trying to. It was the top.
And
they were all
each
exactly.
Other.
It was all the these bros that were like, "No, I'm going to jump off the pool, off the you know those metal railings going to the pool," and you're watching people just slip and hurt themselves.
I wonder what the statistic is for like. People going missing. People like just never show up. People disappearing on cruise ships.
I think we came back with half the winners.
it blows my mind how more people just don't disappear. Like how it's not like. Do you know what I mean like
right?
Lost, yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, you
people
should
get hammered on cruise ships and just falling
population
over.
Population control.
Yeah. Also, interviewing these people was
population control. You guys
that's
want
how you do it.
Cruise.
Just put them all.
They get all the freaks, put them on that thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is how we're going to do it. We're going to put contests in bars for beer pong.
Beer pong.
The winners.
We're going to have these 90s groups. We're going to have these drink.
Yeah. This poor band is going to get thrown in there.
That's so funny.
Yeah, well, Dave Matthews, I think, was there as well that trip, I think. It was Dave Matthews and All American Rejects, I believe. And so the last day, you go on an island and those bands perform. And it was like a private island for the concert. And I luckily I had the sort of VIP status because man, I couldn't imagine like
being in the middle of
the crowds and like I was separate. I was put on a hammock in front of the stage while the crowds were put. Yeah, they gave me
you're
a
like
hammock.
Floating
I was just hanging out.
Did you have to be nude or what?
I did not have to be nude. No one was nude.
Thank God.
I didn't have to be. I was nude, but I didn't have to be.
Optional.
Everybody was like, "Please put your clothes back." All-American Rejects stopped their set. Tyson was like,
can somebody get him a
guy on
towel,
hammock?
Get him a towel, please.
But the catch, a lot of people were eliminated, which is great. We just eliminated a lot.
That's interesting. Like,
no, that's not true. That's
like
not true.
Speaking of like being a VIP, like we actually met at Comic-Con a few years ago.
Yep.
And it's like,
that's a shocker.
Hey, what can I say?
Exactly.
We've had 20 directors on the show.
We met on a Twilight cruise, which is crazy.
We've pitched 18 directors our Die Hard at Comic-Con. No. That'd be funny. Only have people on that we can somehow try and pitch them our Die Hard at a comic shop.
Not a bad idea.
And we were talking about how like we'll have like lanyards and VIP areas and like that, and that's the only way I can go to those types of places.
Sure.
Because like I would never want to go on a cruise like that or go to these. I can't go to these giant events unless I have some access of not dealing with lines.
Or,
yeah, and in the end I'm a nobody, but it's still like I hate waiting in lines.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm all about. Fake it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna.
You can.
Yeah,
you can fake it.
Something about lines.
Lanyards, man. You can
do anything with lanyards.
Oh, I've made many. Oh, never mind. Okay.
No. Go ahead.
No. Oh, yes. Made shooting permits. You can do anything.
Oh,
Photoshop. Yeah.
High school. In high school.
I should hack a movie.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Hack making a movie.
In high school, I used to make fake backstage passes for like concerts I would go to, and I would get backstage because in the end, the people working the door, like, they don't get paid enough to really. And because like there's so many different types of passes and bracelets and all that, they can't keep track of which is which. So I would just be like, hey, I'm supposed to be here, you know. And they'd
Literally put like a headset on one time and walked backstage into a concert.
Those are the best. Yeah,
yeah, and just be talking.
Walkie-talkie or headset.
Remember what concert it was?
Yeah, it was Beyonce in New York.
Oh, get out of town.
Yes, that's a
you
big
did that
one.
To a Beyonce concert? Yeah.
That's holy a big one.
I had accidentally. Oh, it was a long story.
Like, that's as big as you get.
Oh, my God. She's bigger than me.
At the Starlight Ballroom. Before they tore it down.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, because that's another story. I went, you know, the legendary singer songwriter, Diane Warren?
Yeah.
She wrote a Beyonce song, and so she wanted me to go with her to the concert. So we're in the concert up in the VIP thing next to Paul McCartney and blah, blah, blah. No name dropping. She goes, Kevin, I want you to go out and get food, you know, and I was like, okay, but I couldn't come back in the normal way with the food because they check. I had a little purse and you can't bring food in.
Okay.
And she wanted like this certain kind of vegetarian, da 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 da. So I'm like, fuck this. I'm going to have to go sneak in the back. And I'm like, how am I going to get in? I've done this many times, walk backward through exits, anything.
Sure.
This time I see some headphones lying on the ground. I put on the headset and I'm just walking like I'm on the crew. Got all the way through. Boom. Open up my purse. There's the pizza, vegetarian pizza. Here we have all.
Wow.
That's amazing.
She's a hacker.
Holy cow.
You know, I do that. I actually have my show on YouTube is I show people how to do this, like sneaking into places. And
dude, I've got some good ones.
Oh.
Okay, bet I have one that you haven't even done before.
Okay, Oh, you probably. I can give you an idea of what I do. I can give you one that I've done. And okay. So I just did Disneyland. I did a bit called The Man Baby where I built a stroller, a baby stroller that I fit my man friend in because babies get him for free. And I rolled him right into the park.
Okay.
And that's on my show.
Pretty good. Have you been to the Berlin Wall Museum?
No, I have not. No.
Okay, you guys have to go there because it shows all the ways that people got smuggled out, which are similar to that. Like two surfboards stacked on top of a car, hollowed out the inside of the two surfboards.
Oh, wow.
And then there was a person smuggled out that way.
Wow.
They show some cool.
I got to look that up.
That's great.
You've got to go check out that museum.
Yes.
It's really cool.
And yeah.
Okay, so you want to hear
yes,
mine?
Yes,
okay,
absolutely.
Okay, so I'm at Sundance, you know, and, you know, early days, Sundance, I didn't have a pass, didn't have any money, but I'm dying to see movies. You know,
sure.
You're just desperate to get to see a movie. So I look at this, the one hot movie that I wanted to see, the Buzz movie. I see right before it, there's a documentary on, like, something like female genitalia mutilation in West Africa or something like that, that I thought, well, probably no one's going to go to that.
Yeah,
so
sure.
I go and buy my ticket to that one. And when they go to clear out the theater, I went and stood up. I climbed up on the lip of where the curtain is, and the curtain had folds in it.
Yes.
I hid in one fold of the curtain
brilliant.
Until they finished cleaning up, and then I like slid out from the curtain.
Oh my gosh!
And got my sister.
Were you sweating? Did they? Did anyone ever get close?
Oh yeah! Oh, like, I was sweating the whole time.
Yeah.
I was just sitting there like.
Oh my gosh!
Amazing.
And it was dusty too.
That's great. What movie did you sneak into? Do you remember?
Now I can't remember what it was. I only remember the first. At that moment, it was the hottest movie. You know,
right? Oh, I'm telling you, I was sweating in Disneyland. I was sweating bullets because I built a skateboard for it to carry all his weight. Here's a picture. Actually, you can see that's me walking around. I'm dressed as a dad. That's him in the stroller in Disneyland.
Oh my God, that is hysterical. That face.
So. And two of the wheels broke off my – so I put caster wheels on this board to carry his weight. As I'm pushing him through the castle because I want my shots in the park, you know, one wheel breaks off and I just watch it roll under the stroller. I grab it real quick, get back, and the second wheel breaks off. I mean, I'm in front of everyone and you just hear – and my wood is just scraping. And I have one camera guy because I do this show on my own. He comes running over and he's like, just get him out. Just get him out. No. So I had a girl stitch sides on this thing and Velcro. So he's in there and it covers his whole body, as you can see on the sides and stuff.
Love it.
And everyone's looking at me like, why is it? And it's sparking. Like it's wood scraping. And my camera runs up and just goes, he's just, get out, get him out, get him out now. I'm like, I'm not going to pull him out in front of everyone in this park right now. We're going to go to Disney jail or whatever happens to people. So I just lean into him. I go, just lean all your weight on me. So he's now wheeling this skateboard.
That's amazing.
And I have to get him to a bathroom. And I've never sweat so much. I was so, like, my body was panicking. And I get to the stall and I'm just pouring and sweating. I get him out. I throw the skateboard in the trash can and I park the stroller in the baby stroller parking and we move
Adios.
On. Yeah. We got it all on camera. And
But now if you do get arrested, isn't that cool for your episode? Or
Mouse jail.
Mouse jail.
Yeah, I could spend some time in mouse jail. Yeah. I would do it for the press. Yeah, but I got away with it. I mean, people looking, I didn't have enough camera people to cover the reactions because the reactions were amazing.
Because if they would see that face.
They just see a man's face.
That's so funny.
Like Benjamin Button, baby.
Yeah, totally,
like,
exactly.
Oh, please don't make fun of my baby. Exactly. My baby's got enough problems.
You saw that process happen to people because they'd look and they go, I can't say anything because it could be a Benjamin Button baby. Yeah. Or, you know, it could be a kid with a pituitary. Yeah. Who knows? Yeah, or some disorder. You don't want to say anything.
You could just start crying if they said anything.
Yeah, just like, please. Please.
It's so stressful. Yeah. Just trying to have one fun day and you want to ruin it.
Yeah, you're going to ruin
one fun day.
I had a little baby body in there to a doll with a little arm on the blanket.
Oh, you mean the doll arms came
out? The doll. I put the doll in and his head was
so
above
scary.
It. Somehow didn't, yeah. Somehow got away with it. Scary image, but yeah. So I love that you're a hacker as well.
Oh my God! But also, you know, since I can draw, like I can draw most of. You know, I would take like colored markers and of course redraw the thing. But then, of course, what you do? Then you lick it, so it looks like you got. You know,
I used to. I come from a small town called Bay City, Michigan.
Okay.
And they, in the summertime, the surrounding areas, like every weekend, is a new beer tent and like fair. And they would always have bands.
And all the Bud Light people.
And it was literally like you'd have a band and it would be like a big beer tent on the weekends. And that was the place everybody went to. And from like age 16 on, my friends and I would go to every beer tent because I would draw the stamp on all my friends' hands.
Right.
Then you smudge it a bit.
So
and then you just
real,
walk. You walk in the re-entry thing, and you just wave it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like you know what you're doing. There, people. The security
you're
guards.
Preaching to the choir.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We're in good company.
It's
here.
It's a funny thing. I used to have a grifting kit. I called it in my trunk, full of markers and like wristbands, that different color wristbands and things
that's
like that.
That's what I took to Sundance too.
Yeah. All the colored wristbands.
You
always carry
a bunch of wristbands. You get
every color of the rainbow.
Even at Comic-Con, we'll sneak into like the parties they have because I remember one year we went to a party and it was an orange wristband. Then we tried to get in this other party and it was a white wristband. So all we did was flip the orange wristband
inside out. Two for one.
Two
that
for
was a
one.
Twofer.
It's a twofer.
Yeah.
I love it.
So
didn't
fun.
Have to whip out the white tape.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Cool.
Yeah. Now,
are we supposed to be saying this and so that other people are going to catch on? Or?
My show is
exposed. Oh, nobody listens, though.
My show exposes a lot.
This is the worst thing he exposed. This upsets me to this day.
I'm sorry.
And I think you know what I'm going to talk about.
Parking.
The yellow loading zone parkings are free after 6 o'clock.
In L.A., yeah.
Monday through Friday. Monday through Saturday.
After 6 p.m.
After 6 p.m. And on Sunday, the yellow loading zones are free all day.
Open.
And he put this on his episode, and it gets like 200,000 views. And it's like, now all these people, if majority of them live in Los Angeles, now they're going to know that these yellow loading zones are secret parking spots.
That's pretty cool. Now, have you got the can? I've got the idea for the spray can that looks like curb color.
Yes.
And then you mount it to your car, and then it just, this would be my dream, then it just goes and sprays
as
out the
parking.
Red zone. You just clean the red zone back to
as
curb color. Yeah.
That's amazing. That'd be huge.
Or you know what you could even do? Let's just get like gray vinyl, like a sheet of gray vinyl,
right.
and fold it
over the curb.
Stick it on.
So that way you take it up.
And just take it and just keep pulling. Yeah, some like re-adhesive type.
I used to live in Orlando, and I was helping out at a music festival downtown. There was this one weekend where it was like a 4-day weekend, and I lived maybe 20 minutes from downtown. And there was parking was such a pain in the ass to work at that festival. So one day I stole a couple road cones.
Yeah.
And I found a parking spot. And when I left, I set the road cones up there.
Oh yeah.
And
nobody
moved the road cones.
People don't think you can just buy those.
I reserved my parking spot all weekend in a downtown busy Orlando just by putting up orange road cones.
Regular people don't realize you can just buy parking cones.
You can just buy parking.
I stencil parking. I actually stencil like no parking on it because stencils mean business. When somebody does a stencil, that's like having a clipboard or a headphone.
That's how they do it. Yeah.
You know, and to prove so one of my – see, I do a lot of hacks that people aren't going to do. I did one because I used to live in Los Feliz, and Costco you can't park in. Like ever. People fight over spaces at Costco. And so I had a shitty Honda Accord, 2000 Honda Accord. I parked it right in front of the entrance of Costco, like right in front of the big door.
Okay.
And I had I put a big red ribbon on the hood. Mind you, this is a shitty Honda Accord. It had a dent in the bumper the size of like a basketball. And
Win this car.
I made a sandwich board sign. I put the sandwich board sign on one of those like government parking sandwich boards. You watch me. I have it all on hidden camera. I get out. I put the sign out, and it's a big poster. It's got a picture of my Honda. It says, "Win this car." I threw in a trip to Las Vegas because, you know, why not? Because it was kind of a shitty car.
Yeah.
But then what I did was I put text still here. To this phone number, right? So I hooked a Google number to my cell phone. So while I'm shopping, the people that are entering the contest are letting me know my car is still outside. So I'm getting updates. I'm like, yep, still there, good.
Oh, my God, that is awesome.
And I remember we didn't put this in the show, but a kid was with his family, and we heard this on the set as we're editing. Some kid says to his dad as they're walking by, "Dad, why would anyone want to win a car with a dent in it?" We didn't get to use that, but it was amazing.
So
it's just a show people don't know.
Yeah.
Like, they don't know who or care.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You know.
That's awesome.
So, So I'm glad we're in good company with some hackers.
Great company here.
Yeah, great company with this.
A lot of mischievous mindset.
I like it.
So I got a question. So what was it – because Miss You Already is kind of like a – comparatively to your previous work – a smaller type of movie, right? Would you say it's...
Well, I've done smaller movie. Like, 13 was only 1.5 million.
But to go from, like, I guess, what made you want to go from going, like, doing 13 to the, like, Twilight and the Little Red Riding Hood, which are these, you know, tentpole franchises, to back to your roots?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think a lot of directors that I love, like Steven Soderbergh, you know, he'll do, like, a big one. He'll do a little one.
A few years ago he made note of all the media he consumed for a year, and it was great. It was great because, like, it was to see his thought process of either reading or watching movies. Like, he would watch movies like four different times in like black and white on mute and things like that, just for like,
whoa,
because he's awesome and he's genius.
Think about it this way.
Right.
Think about it with this lens.
But he's a great director. Mm-hmm. Holy cow.
And he'll go back and forth all the time. A lot of cool directors do because, you know, like a blockbuster or whatever, like a Twilight, that has certain things that are exciting to an artist. But then, you know, other things, you want to just get your hands in there.
Yeah.
And, like, I like to be hands-on. You know, I actually almost miss that when I don't like I'm 13 when I got to, you know, have my own clothes and furniture, and you have problem solving, and that's kind of fun.
Oh, absolutely.
And Miss You Already was, you know, tight budget and in London, and so all those challenges, all the, you know, problem solving you got to do to make that work, it's actually really fun, and sometimes that just brings more heart to the, you know, thing instead of like a long shooting schedule where everybody's just hanging out in their trailer. In this case, the actors are just in it all the time. Right. 20,
they got the drive. They want to make that great
product. You're making it. You're there.
Right.
Like, and you don't have downtime. You're like in the flow.
Right.
Yeah, and the cast is
amazing, you said they were
too.
Also in their own place, right? Was it Toni Collette's play?
Toni and Dominic, their character was in this really, we found a really cool location that was an old forge.
Okay.
That was where their family was meant to live.
Gotcha.
And then I'll do things like, I'll do like rehearsals in the space.
That's great.
You know,
great.
And so in that case, Toni Collette and Dominic Cooper and the two kids, children that play their children, they came and rehearsed, and they would rehearse two times over lunch hour. And I said, oh, we're not having catering or anything. I put food in the refrigerator, and you guys make the lunch for your kids.
Brilliant.
They were like, what?
Oh. Brilliant.
But that got them to kind of bond,
method,
get to know
know the home.
Okay, where do we keep the mayonnaise? You know, where are the spoons and all that?
That's
so when
great.
You see the movie, it looks very textured and real.
Yeah.
Like on Lords of Dogtown, all the guys did about 6 weeks of surf and skate camp.
Right.
And like when Victor Razzik came from New York, I go, you are get rid of the Adidas and all the hip-hop shit. You are back in the 70s. You're just wearing your Levi's, your Vans, and you're not washing your hair because the ocean washes your hair, and you're a surfer, dude.
Right,
and
right.
I had him live in like a little tiny apartment just right near the beach that was about the same income level as his character lived in.
Wow.
So it was, and then we would surf and skate together every day, and they'd get their training.
Oh, that's great.
That made it more like real.
That's great.
Absolutely.
Man, that's awesome.
And then the Heath Ledger performance was incredible.
Oh my God, Heath is so
incredible.
Good in it. He's like, so beautiful.
To be honest with you, I feel like, because I know he was doing, before that he was sort of doing more did he do Patriot? Or what
did
he do?
He did Patriot before that.
Patriot
he
before. Did, but at that time he wasn't.
Teen. 10 Things I
the
Hate
teen,
About You.
Yeah. Right. And then all of a sudden you see him in this. I remember I saw, I was so stoked about Lords of Dogtown and saw it in the theater opening day. And I remember seeing Heath Ledger. Well, I remember seeing the trailers, not even knowing it was him.
Yeah,
right.
Because
his
transformation.
The hair, the teeth.
They did some of the.
Yeah.
You did some of the teeth.
Yeah, because the real Skip Englund talks really funny. You know.
Yeah.
Really interesting. So he met with him a few times and goes, "I want the teeth.
Right.
I want the fake teeth that are going to give me that voice.
Right. And oh my God. And then then you see it and you're just like, wow, that's.
Like he disappears in the role.
Disappears.
He transforms his body, his voice. And then here's the thing that most people don't know. 6 days after he finished shooting our film, he went and shot Brokeback Mountain. 6 days later, he's turned into such a different character. You would think that he had spent 6 months up there riding that horse.
Yeah. Easily.
His body and the horse. Because his body, when he's Skip, you know, the surfer, has a whole different silhouette and language and vibe than he did in the other one.
Absolutely. Wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's pretty amazing.
And just that from that point on, it was just that he's just nailing it on every performance. It was incredible.
Oh yeah. And he just caught on fire.
Wow.
Yeah. And he's just so creative at every moment. Like I never knew exactly what he would do, but then when I'd see what he would do, that might give me another idea. Well, let's try this. Then he'd get another cool idea. So he just kept elevating the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah, so talented.
Yeah, yeah. The scene I was talking about earlier in San Pedro when he's throwing the surfboards off the the roof. That was on Bandini Street.
Yeah, that was a little bit scary to me because, you know, I didn't know how messed up he was or not for real life. I'm like, dude, are you okay? Like, I hoped he didn't just, like, fall off the roof.
But
he was in control, you know. But one of the other skaters was so stoned. It was kind of hilarious because he came out in that scene in the downstairs of the skate shop, right? And, you know, he's supposed to be a mess.
Right.
You know, he's upset. He's losing his team and everything. And so he takes a board off the rack. And he just whacked right into this skater actor that was there. And I said, cut, you know, because I thought the guy was, like, injured. And I run over to the guy, are you okay? He goes, what, man? What happened? He was so stunned, the kid didn't even know he'd just gotten hit by a surfboard. So I said, well, this time Heath and Shogo, let's watch each other. Let's not hit him because it takes away from the scene. You think there's, like, an injury.
Right.
So the next time, bam, he just hit him again. And I took that actor and said, okay, you're out of the scene. He still didn't know that he even got hit. He was like,
wow.
That's
wow.
So funny.
What was he on?
Well, you know, method acting.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
So this is interesting. So I was reading about like the Z-Boys there.
Oh, yeah.
And they kind of due to the 76 California drought, they kind of helped spearhead like the vert ramps and the half pipes,
yes,
and all that.
They invented all that stuff. They invented of all of that. Empty pools.
So I started reading about droughts since Californians, we are in a massive drought right now.
Yeah, yeah.
The California recorded the worst drought of the 20th century in 1961. Was the worst drought of last century in California.
Right.
Then I was reading, and you always hear, and I always thought this was just because it rhymed and it was a cute thing or whatever.
But
dirty 30s, when you turned 30, everybody's like, you're in your dirty 30s.
Right.
But the phrase dirty 30s comes from the era in the 1930s when there was the Dust Bowl. It was such a massive drought across the United States and even in Canadian prairies, because farmers back in the 30s, there were so many of them. Not only was there not enough rain, but they didn't rotate their crops like they should have been.
So
the topsoil was loose, and it got so dusty and windy because of the drought.
Mm-hmm.
It was the 30s. They called it the dirty 30s. And that's where when people turn 30,
now we have
they say
fun
dirty
t-shirts.
Now you have fun t-shirts that say dirty 30s.
Making fun of that. Wow.
Oh.
So I thought that was interesting.
Now, where are we in relation to the drought in 61 now?
Are we worse?
I can't imagine, because the 61 drought was also, it stemmed from like a major drought in the 50s, and there were some droughts in the 40s prior to that.
Okay.
And we weren't in as many as massive droughts in the 2000s and 90s as we are like right now. This is a huge drought.
And how do we bounce back from that? Because I think we need to know now.
Desalinization of the ocean.
Desalinization is the answer, right?
I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting thing. Fortunately for me, my lawn finally matches the other people's. All the, you know, my house lawn. I mean, or should I say the other houses, they match mine.
Right.
And my lawn was green for the first time in probably a few years, because of all the wind, it knocked all the leaves down from my trees, and it made it look green. But then the wind came back and it blowed them all away. But I mean, I also
30 minutes click.
this drought's something.
Production design tip: if you need green grass, just cover with leaves.
But I thought that was neat, that and it stemmed from like the Z-Boys, That's a great movie. I remember seeing that in the theater. I remember seeing the documentary Dogtown and Z-Boys and just being enamored with that world.
Yeah.
And then that movie, and then your movie came out, The Lords of Dogtown, and it was just like, holy cow.
Well, we had a lot of fun making that movie, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
And there's like neat things like, when we were trying to recreate the Del Mar skate scene competition. So we had a really great guy that was doubling for Tony Alva. But Tony Alva was there, like, coaching him to, you know, get the skate tricks right. And I looked out there and I saw that Tony was doing the trick with his, you know, inimitable style, you know, that he had. And he looked, and by this time in the shooting, he'd actually lost weight because he was coaching everybody, and he looked almost perfect. I go, Tony, why don't you just do the doubling for yourself, your old character? So Tony went back in, put on the wig, he put on the clothes, and he went out and he plays himself in all the skate scenes.
No way.
And it's like, and he said it was like so surreal, because he's looking down, you know, and he's got the same old bands on and everything. He's doing the tricks he did when he was a teenager. And then a lot of the people were in the crowd were there in the real day. And then people, if he screwed something up for real, people booed him for sure.
Wow.
And if he did something good, they yelled. So he's like, oh my God, I really went back in a time machine.
Wow, that must have been a trip.
And Stacy also was the only one that could do his like 560 or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
No one else could do it. So he put on the wig and did his stunt too.
Oh, wow.
He still was the only one who could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because again, it wasn't just the exact trick. It was the style, the way they did it. You
absolutely.
Know, was so cool.
Absolutely.
Know?
That's really cool.
Wow. Yeah, that was
That's
right.
another fun
that's
fact. Great. A lot of fun facts in this episode.
That's amazing. Kick just texted me back.
He did?
And he's like, you are talking right now to the coolest chick in Los Angeles.
Yes.
And I'm like, I texted back to him, Do you want to jump in on a call? I think we can do that. I haven't heard back from him, but I think we have the ability to do phone calls here. I'm not sure how we do that, but we'll see if he responds. It would be a fun thing to hear him.
He's so wild. I love him. Yeah.
He's so great. He's this Aussie guy, and he's so – we'll play – I met him through game nights at my buddy Kyle's place, and we'll do like Mafia and games like that.
Oh, cool.
And he's so funny and so quick, and he's got such control over his voice too, to where he can do impressions of other people. He's great. He's very talented.
Nice.
Yeah, he's just funny and cool, a lot of energy. Yeah.
Well, when I met him that night, there was like this hanging thing, you know, beside the pool, and I said, "Oh, why don't you hang on that?" Well, cut to like 5 minutes later, he's hanging on it with his shirt off, being whipped.
Yeah.
So. I have a bunch of whipping shots of him.
He's so good. Little Red Riding Hood. What was it like making that movie?
Well, that was kind of fun because we were up in Canada, up in Vancouver. We did it, and then it was all the studio wanted to do it on a soundstage. So we got to like really build a whole world and create like really funky, strange, like wooden architecture, like wooden Russian architecture,
and
like ancient things, and got to do all the cool costumes. And then I wanted to have a scene where, like in the opening credits or somewhere, a dream sequence where she had a long, long red cape up on the glacier, and I scouted it on Google, and I made a demo, like Google Earth, like, I think the shot could look like this, and I sent it to the studio, and they okayed it. So I got one day to go up in a helicopter with the stunt girl in this long, like, you know, half a, I don't know, 50 yards of red fabric, put her up on a glacier and fly over with the helicopter. So that was, like, magical.
How surreal is that?
Yeah, that was super fun.
Wow.
That's awesome. Sometimes, you know, you come up with something radical and you get to do it. And
right.
Man, that's
really
so fun.
Yeah.
It harkens back to being a kid and being to play and make these cool things and use your imagination, and you have access to do these things and to create them. Like, to do that in Google Earth first is such a fun
way. That's how I sold them on the idea. This is where we'll go between these mountains and do this. Yeah, in Google Earth.
Because
they wouldn't have paid for me to go on a location scout.
No.
So I did it by Google Earth, which is, of course, amazing.
Isn't that brilliant?
That's brilliant. And there's nothing better than having what's in here come out visually just like you see it. There's nothing cooler. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And then allowing you to do that. Being able to do that. Being able to see that.
It's so great. Like, it's just to tie that back to like the Tom Cruise and the changing the thing is like instantly, you know, that's gonna make it better. You knew that shot would just broaden the scope of everything. Man.
And then if you can convince, then it's like being a salesperson. Convince somebody, this is going to be a cool idea.
Yeah.
I can do it for this amount of money. Sell them on the vision.
Right.
That's always the challenge.
Yeah, exactly. Getting them to see it as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you present it? How do you?
That's wonderful. Miss You Already, starring Toni Collette, Drew Barrymore, Dominic Cooper, is in theaters now.
And Tyson Ritter.
Tyson Ritter, yes.
Jacqueline Bisset, too. She's very fun, sexy.
Oh, very cool.
Go check that out. Everybody watch that. Catherine, thank you so much for doing this show. This was so much fun.
Thanks for
having
me.
This was a lot of fun. Like,
That was a good one.
Great stories, hacks, everything.
We covered it all.
Where can the audience find you? Like, on social media and all that?
I think I got my list of everything.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Yes, please. Let's see. Of course, well, we've got, you know, hashtag. Okay.
Yeah. So we got the hashtag Miss You Already. We have on Twitter, Miss You Already _ @ Miss You Already _ then you can follow Catherine on Twitter @ C_Hardwick. You can follow her on Instagram, C_Hardwick also, I believe. Then on Facebook, Miss You Already Movie. Facebook, Catherine.Hardwick. Facebook.com/ Miss You Already Movie. That's great.
Yeah. Or any other 20 ways.
You can follow her on Periscope. All of those things.
That's awesome. A long list, wasn't it? Okay.
Yeah, you know. Hey, what you got to do nowadays.
It's now. Yeah. You got to. It's it's the world where, you know, when you go on things, you gotta do that.
You gotta get out there and promote.
It's interesting. Mike, where can everybody find you?
You can follow me anywhere, really. Just
Disneyland.
Yeah, follow me into Disneyland. Yeah, you can find me on Hacks of Life YouTube, Hacks of Life TV. We'll see if it's gonna where it goes, what I'm gonna do next. I don't know. I can't tell anybody because I can't blow my cover. And also you can find me around Studio City. I ride my bike a lot. I do a lot of bike riding around there where I live.
That's great.
So
I like it.
You might find me there.
What do you wear when you're riding?
just new, just a towel. Just a towel. Everybody knows me.
That's great. You can continue following the podcast at TWL Podcast on Twitter. Send us if you have a fun fact or bit of trivia, todaywelearnpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow Dan, who's not here, on Twitter at osteoferocious. You can follow me on Twitter at my name is Razzle and the number 2. Follow me on Instagram at my name is Razzle. Continue listening to the show. We appreciate every one of you telling all your friends to do all this, and we appreciate all the cool guests we've been having lately. We've been having a lot of great ones. You can feel free to tweet at Tom Cruise and tell him to do this podcast, because that would be my birthday's in March, and if he wants to come on for my birthday, that would be awesome. So everybody tweet at Tom Cruise and tell him to do the show.
That'd be fun.
He won't listen to you, but do it anyways. He might do it.
You never know.
This has been great, and everybody go see that movie. Go see Miss You Already, and watch Hacks of Life, and support these great guests that have joined us today. And as always, learning is fun and hacking is better.
So. All right.
Thank you, Catherine. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you so much.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.